Not trying to point anybody out, but that made you mad. You might want to go look in the mirror.
Yeah, if you got a little mad, you might want to go do that for some reason.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Mi nombre es Nalia, con Georgia Spine and Orthopedics in Tucker, y estás escuchando Ayúdame con HIPAA.
Welcome to episode 296 of the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims with HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. And joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin.
For the first time ever, we're sitting side by side.
Yeah, actually it is. Usually we're across from each other.
Yeah, even if we're in the same room. This is new.
Yeah.
It will likely be the only time it happens because we've already had problems with him. Making the sign is all I'm going to say.
That's the least of your worries.
I know, right?
So, as we're live in Augusta, Georgia, and doing our recording, we got a lot to talk about, as usual. So, we have evaluating the cyber threats of 2020 and then looking forward to all the crap that's coming in 2021.
Yeah. We've been together for entirely too long at this point, but doing planning sessions for all of our different projects. And in the meantime, going, did you see this one? Did you see that one? Uh-oh, this is a problem. So we don't know where this is going to go, but we've tried to put some notes together.
Yeah. So follow us down the rabbit hole. Come on, Alice. Let's go.
All right. Off we go now.
But we looked at some reports evaluating cyber threats and looked at stats and documents and, you know, pretty much the aftermath of 2020, which I think is still a long ways off. The aftermath of 2020 is probably not going to be known for a while.
Yeah, we're going to keep discovering that. 10 years from now, we're going to go, nobody knew this.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Somebody's been in my system for 10 years. But, you know, as you can guess, it's also a good time for us to look at 2021 and what we can expect. And so we looked at some of the reports and articles that have been coming out that discuss that. And I think that it's important for us to talk about that and to give people kind of a heads up on what they should be paying attention to.
Best you can.
Yeah. So part of what we do on this podcast is information sharing. And that's what we want to do here today. And first, we want to share information about the HIPAA Bootcamp Virtual Edition.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. August 17, 18, 19. We'll be online. Mm-hmm. So go to thehippabootcamp.com to learn more about that and get into the final HIPAA Bootcamp of 2021.
That'll be it.
Yep.
Ain't doing another one.
Ain't doing another one. Got too many other things we got to get done.
I know.
All right. So let's dive into today's episode. What did you find as you were going through the intranet this morning?
I mean, we've been looking at all this stuff for a while, knowing that it was coming. Knowing what we know, we saw that, and that there's clearly things we may not have known.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can see the writing on the wall. But that's really just because we're looking at the wall and some other people aren't.
Well, there's several articles and tons of reports that are coming out. And then you generally see that, you know, in the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
You know, the postmortem.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were a few that, you know, there was a really good one in Health IT Security. And they touched on a ton of different articles that I haven't had time to read, all these reports. And in a lot of it, it was like, oh, I knew that was coming. And then, oh, man, you know, and then this is not good. So I went through a few of these. And, you know, first of all, 2020, right on brand. You know, it's not good, but 2021, it's almost like the cyber criminals learned a lot of things and developed a lot of, and they're you can't vaccinate them.
Well, the sad thing is that they're growing in their abilities faster than the businesses are growing in their ability to protect. But having said that, the caveat is it's because the businesses aren't doing it. It's not because right. they don't have the ability to do it or the technology is not available. It's there. They're just not doing it.
Well, and some of them just don't know.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, one of the big things, you brought it up, information sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere you turn, all the cybersecurity experts are like, be part of an information sharing organization. And, you know, some groups can be.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those things are expensive, number one. And then number two, they're generally very technical. And if you don't understand them, it really doesn't do you any good, does it?
No. Well, just it reminds me of the interview I did recently with a local TV station.
Yeah, we have to get it in there. David was on the news.
Yeah, this time for something good. But the guy, the reporter asked me, of course, this didn't make it to the story, but the reporter asked me, he's like, so are these ransomware things, like, are they a big deal? And I'm thinking to myself, really? Like, these things are a daily occurrence and they're making the news everywhere. But it just goes to show that most people just don't pay attention to this stuff. It's not in their feed, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's the one thing I don't like about the news oftentimes is it figures out what you look at most, and that's all it feeds you.
Well,
so you miss all the other stuff, but at least you know what Angela Jolie's doing.
But it's not the news. It's that you get your news from like a place
yeah.
online, and it learns to cater to you instead of you going, let me see what's out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's a problem with that.
Well, yeah, there is. Of course there is.
It's like, I know everything that's happening in this little teeny sliver.
I know. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, yes, it does drive people in my household crazy that I am like all over the board. You never know what I'm going to be reading.
I know. You and I had a discussion about some stuff the other day. We were talking yesterday. It's like, I'm looking at such and such and I'm reading about it. And you're like, what? Really?
Me too.
Me too. How crazy? Because it's so obscure that you and I both would be
studying how the brain works.
Yeah, I know.
When posed with specific things, it again freaks us out. Yeah, let's don't go. It's too weird to talk about that, especially when you're near me.
I'm not touching you.
I'm wearing the right shirt. Okay. So
look, I got pants on. Hush.
Oh, please. Okay. So back to the report. I told you this is a bad idea. It was a good idea, but a bad idea. All right. So in these reports, you know, I wish I could tell you it'll be okay. But that's bad advice. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna look at some stats and then some like live action information of what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows where we're going. So a year ago, we were doing a podcast about, and I'm not sure exactly when the episode came out, but I know it was like January. February, March, somewhere in the first quarter. And we were talking about the Maze ransomware gang
mm-hmm.
was, you know, all bets are off. Everything we know about ransomware changed in November, December 2019 because they were taking the let's infiltrate the network, exfiltrate the data, and then drop off some ransomware.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ransomware drop off, if you didn't want to pay because everybody's, you know, oh, well, if you make sure you can restore and you do all of this, they're like, fine, if you don't need the key, well, we'll just post your data for sale.
Yeah.
And they actually were doing it. They have websites where they post the data for sale and you can go out there right now and buy data, which is really way worse in a lot of ways. Than anything, you know, we had data theft, mm-hmm. extortion, we had encryption extortion. Now they put those together we headed into 2020 with that, and by the time we get to the end of 2020, it is not looking pretty.
Mm-mm.
So, according to the IBM Threat X-Force Threat Intelligence Index report, yes, 59% of ransomware attacks in 2020 used the double extortion strategy.
That's more than half.
More than half. And they didn't even start at the beginning of the year.
Oh, wow.
So think about it. It was brand new in the first quarter. We were just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was that lull where the whole world locked down and everybody was figuring it out. So really, let's say, you know, end of April is when these things really took off.
Right.
And it managed to get to 59%.
So, which tells me it was pretty effective.
Yeah, because just one of them, it's known as Revel. You know which one?
Right. Yeah.
Also, AKA Sodenokibi, 123 million documented amount of profits for the operators. 123 million that we know about because they're tracking.
Because they filed taxes?
They filed, yeah.
Okay.
That we know about those because they're tracking the Bitcoin wallets.
Oh.
And that doesn't mean we know about all of them. You know, they continue to find, I think in one of these articles, they just had found another 370 million that went to some of them. And that may have impacted this number. So that's the minimum.
Mm.
And I can assure you that is not all of it. I am no doubt about it. So, you know, this double extortion tactic, that's so successful, they're adding more. We'll get to that in a minute.
But wait,
there's more. They continue to evolve not only their tactics, but the attack vectors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you as an IT person, and we were talking a year ago, and I ask you about Linux.
Right.
And how safe is Linux? What would you say?
I would say Linux is probably your best bet for, you know, security out of the box, and that there's not many gangs trying to attack Linux.
And based on what we've learned from these reports, what will you say now?
I would say threat actors are also innovating their malware, particularly to target Linux.
40% increase.
Oh, gosh.
40% increase in malware.
You know, the worst thing about the Linux problem is that there are a lot of people that use Linux or Linux-based things. Sometimes they don't even know it. And for the most part, IT professionals usually dabble in Linux or may dabble in Linux, but they don't know it well enough to really secure it and protect it properly.
Yeah, I played with it a little while and learned right away. I wasn't sure I could secure it. In fact, ain't nobody got time for that.
I know. So if you go with the assumption that, well, it's secure out of the box and I don't have to do much with it, and then you put it in an environment, mm-hmm, and you don't know how to effectively protect it, or you can't put your security software on there because it doesn't have a Linux version, mm-hmm, or you're not able to monitor it or whatever. There's all kind of things around that. Then you can have a problem. And, you know, I know for the longest time, we wouldn't use anything in Linux. Now, there's some Linux things that we use that are based on Linux, like our backup vendor software is Linux-based, but we don't have to manage and monitor that. The actual vendor does that.
This will make you ask them more questions about patching, won't it?
Yeah. But fortunately now, we actually have a Red Hat Linux engineer on staff, so I'm not quite as freaked out about Linux anymore. But we have a couple of different technicians who are very, very versed in Linux. But even still, even knowing that, across all of our clients, we only run one Linux server. So we still don't try to go down that path unless we absolutely have to.
But, I mean, a lot of the cloud infrastructure and data storage, as you mentioned, mm, is based on Linux.
Yes.
So it's not maybe necessarily in the businesses, but it's in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And in the infrastructure and on devices.
Mm-hmm.
And just that 40%, 56 new families of malware.
Wow.
New. 56 new. that's coming at you at a pretty rapid clip. Mm-hmm. So that's why, I mean, you can't keep up. But, you know, the growth, that alone should be a wake-up call to IT professionals. And, you know, it's one of those things where we talk about, talk to your IT people. Make sure they're aware of these.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just kind of, granted, there's a ton of stuff we have to keep up with. You know, if you think it's hard for you to keep up with and you're not a technical person, as a technical person, I can't keep up. You know, I rely on these articles to kind of gather it for me, and then we gather it for you to try to translate it.
Yeah.
But we know we don't always do well.
Imagine if, imagine you're a doctor and, you know, all the threats to the human body are changing daily, and what you have to do as a doctor is changing daily.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, I'm sorry, the operation you did 6 months ago, you can't do it that way anymore.
No, it won't even work. Right.
I mean, imagine how awful that would be.
Well, just doing the diagnostic part of it,
right,
a lot of times it changes, because sometimes that diagnostic test that you used to use will, you know, cause something to grow and get worse. But granted, we've got this really explosive expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that redundant?
No.
Okay.
I guess you could have implode.
But. Okay. But so they did include this top initial attack vectors, because if they're getting in, they're not just like getting you to run some malware. They're getting you to run some malware or to break into your network in order to exfiltrate that data and wander around a little while and also figure out the best way to extort money from you.
Mm-hmm.
So how that initial exploit, if you will,
okay,
that initial way in, the scan and exploit. Let's go look for weaknesses and jump on in there.
Yeah. Just look around.
Yeah. So they're just scanning for ways to get in from the outside. And then once they get in, they scan and look for weaknesses. Maybe that's why I started having all of our assessments include those scans. Anyway, scan and exploit. Number one way in for the initial attack. Second, phishing.
Yeah.
Phishing. Erg. So, I mean, and those are like 35%, 33%. I mean, those are huge. The third is credential theft, meaning bad passwords, usernames, falling for the phishing, maybe, but they're stealing the credentials somehow. Often they're just buying them offline from Ashley Madison breaches. And then remote desktop protocol.
We still talk about that.
Yeah. Now, you know, granted, credential theft, 18%, remote desktop protocol, 7%, which I'm surprised.
It's not higher.
But again, this is the initial.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they didn't find some way in on the scan and exploit or phishing and then take over the remote desktop.
I'm actually surprised phishing wasn't number one.
Well, that should tell you something. But a lot of that, according to, you know, what the top vulnerabilities that were attacked,
mm-hmm,
the big one was the Citrix one. And how many times do you have, oh, well, we use, you know, Citrix, we use this, we use that, you know, we're fine, we're protected. No, you're not. You should never, if you think you're protected right away,
you're screwed already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. If I think I'm fine, therein lies the problem.
I do like the fact that it says several incidents had no known attack vector, and therefore we didn't include them in the stats. We don't know how the heck they got in. I wish they'd at least put, like, we don't know what percentage.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is the bottom three, while they're small percentages, the last one is the one I found interesting.
Okay.
BYOD.
Yeah.
BYOD. That's the first time I've seen that as an initial attack.
Even though we talk about it a lot, like, yeah, don't let people come into your organization using their cell phone to connect to the Wi-Fi of the business. Don't let them plug the phone into the computer to charge because they can be attack vectors. Now we have proof.
Mm-hmm. But also, I'm going to use my personal laptop for work now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that goes to a lot of the ones that potentially had to do with, you know, they don't know how they got in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not aware with all these devices and that big change that we went through for remote work and the impact that that has had.
Yeah. Well, we've said it before. We'll say it again. Now that things have calmed down some, mm-hmm. whatever changes you made in 2020, this time last year, you need to go back and reevaluate all that mm-hmm. because you had to move in such a quick manner. Everybody couldn't go, well, let's do a full and complete risk assessment about what this is going to look like. You just kind of went boom.
I know.
But, you know, honestly, some of you, even if you had a full year to do this, you wouldn't have done a fully complete risk assessment.
We know that. We know that. We understand.
Not trying to point anybody out, but that made you mad. You might want to go look in the mirror.
Yeah, if you got a little mad, you might want to go do that risk analysis. If that created an emotional negative reaction.
Yeah, if you started sweating when I said that.
That means maybe you should go do that. But in some of these other reports and details, it was specific healthcare information. Now, healthcare on a lot of them, it was in the top three. Sometimes it was number two. Sometimes it was, I think manufacturing was number one on a lot of these, but healthcare never drops out of the top three as far as what they can determine where the attacks were. And some of those, you know, they're still in there. They haven't even found them yet. It's mm-hmm. 280 days. You know, I don't know if that average has gone up, but when we look at the stats on the different ransomware families,
because mm-hmm.
they're families now.
Oh.
They're, we're family.
We know who's got the biggest family.
Maze.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they're the ones that started out with this whole thing, though. You know, and these are just known attacks on healthcare specific in 2020. By Maze, they documented 20 different ones that were specifically in a CrowdStrike survey. And now they're Egregor. Isn't that what we were just looking at?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's also listed. You know, so that same group, at least 30 known healthcare ransomware attacks. And they were the first ones that started the double extortion.
Right.
And then you got Conti, which I think is kind of tied somehow with Ryuk. NetWalker, I think it's one they shut down. But I mean, you look at these and it's crazy.
Yeah.
How many are there? And the thing is, they all up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And healthcare is clearly still getting hit. So the next little bit we're going to talk about is our official.
HIPAA say what?
You did pretty good. I know. That was fun. You did it on cue. So it's our initial, you know, we usually do it at the beginning, but this is right in the middle because these were two specific healthcare scenarios, recent news, and honestly, it's a little bit scary. So Qualys, which is a big cybersecurity, well, they're well known in cybersecurity. They're a tool that a lot of people use. And they got hit, and it lit up the Nerdiverse that said, oh, even these people are being hit. This is not good. And one of the newer, what's the Nephilim? What
is it? Nephilim.
Nephilim. They like have a feed where they announce the ones that they're releasing data on. And so it turns out that this was like a special server they had in a DMZ, a demilitarized zone, as we call it, a DMZ for them to just exchange files as needed for support. It wasn't really any special stuff. And they knew, you know, it's hanging out there in an area that could get hit. So it didn't have big stuff on it. It had some, but, you know, none of the, oh my God, Qualys has been hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when I look at the feed, the little screenshot of the feed from the ransomware right above Qualys is Atlanta allergy and asthma. And I'm like, seriously, You know, if there's big cybersecurity news, I'm going to get like something in Georgia, something within, you know, a 4-hour drive of my house is going to be included in a big news story, even like on the periphery. And I kid you not. It's like, can I not just read and not feel like, oh, that's right down the road?
That's the reason we're in Georgia today.
We're on the state line. Like right over there, South Carolina. I can shove you across the river.
Yeah, we have no ransomware in South Carolina.
Yeah, really. Yeah, there's a whole nother one, 8 days. That one's North Carolina.
See?
Yeah.
We don't have enough computers in South Carolina to attack.
At any rate, so we then, you know, I have to go look at what's going on with Atlanta allergy and asthma. And they were hit by the same folks. And then there's also the North Carolina, another allergy partners out of Asheville. That, you know, so now we've got these two different news stories from, ironically, allergy, you know, something related to allergy, which I think is odd. And I saw another one. So I don't know if it's like, you know, when the Dark Overlord, they got into orthopedic groups, mm-hmm. because they found a way in. So I'm curious if it's just a coinky dink.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. Or they're targeting those groups.
Yeah. Or they have some way in. But here's the scary stuff.
I wonder if they're using the same EHR or something.
Yeah, that's what happened with the other ones.
Or the same IT company.
There's something in common.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I don't think these are using the same IT company, but AA and A on their website. We are the largest allergy group in Atlanta with 17 locations and more than 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Their website is full of how awesome they are. It's just not telling them that. Basically, here's the thing. Data was released. We know the data was released. And 1.3 gig.
Ooh.
Was extracted to, it was compressed, and that became 2.5 gig. But here's the thing, and this is what you and I always go through, of we don't have any PHI on our computers. It's all in the cloud or it's all on the server.
Mm-hmm.
These are clearly things that don't necessarily come from there because they're not like databases.
Right.
This was the files. There's a spreadsheet organized by type of health insurance, including records on outstanding claims from 2017 and 2018, dumped into an electronic remits folder.
Yeah.
And more than 100 audits of medical records.
All right. So they downloaded probably a bunch of PDFs,
mm-hmm.
saved them into a folder.
And somebody was working that spreadsheet, and then it was just left sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So the folder, and so on databreaches.net, they have a really good summary of this. It's a copy of a printed PDF medical record with all the patient information on it.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so is a such-and-such who's had problems with vomiting and diarrhea, usually within a few minutes after eating foods containing wheat and flour. You know, so I figured that was okay to say because gluten seems to be a big problem for people.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like even their medications, their date of birth, it's everything. And it's been released on the darknet. Ow.
Mm-mm-mm.
So maybe somebody, either one of two things. That's on somebody's individual computer. Or that they easily had access to an individual computer that sat on in a server folder.
Right.
It looks to me like it's more likely to be on an individual computer.
Yeah, it could be. But there again, like you said, it could be on the server and it's just shared to everyone.
True. So, but according to this, that apparently they have, you know, this is kind of like proof of concept.
Yeah.
We will release more of your stuff. And we're talking about, you know, this is what they're proving they have And apparently they have another 19 gig to dump if they don't pay.
It's like a what, proof of life?
Yeah, proof of life. And so, I mean, and this is like recent, just this week.
Yeah.
And, well, March, beginning of March. And then we see another one that just came out like 2 days later. Another allergy group, Allergy Partners, all over North Carolina, mainly Asheville seems to be like the playing, you know, the center. The attack happened on February 23rd. 2021 and continued for 8 days because they asked for $1.75 million.
Wow.
$1.75 million. And they are unable to provide the allergy shots at two offices. And, you know, there's a lot of details apparently still coming out about this one. But, you know, 8 days.
I just think of the reputational damage. You know, if I'm a patient and you can't give me my allergy shot and I have to go somewhere else, I'm probably not going to come out to your practice ever again.
Well, just, yeah, these just, are kind of important.
Yeah, just move my records to somewhere else within 30 days.
At least right now it's within 30 days. It could be 15. I don't know. It doesn't, you know, by the, who knows? But yeah. I mean, it's these are the reason that HIPAA exists is because of these problems.
Yep.
I mean, clearly, this is information. I mean, I can't comprehend knowing that that is out there mm-hmm. about me. You know, maybe I'm okay with everybody knowing I have gluten issues, but do I want them all to have how, you know, my date of birth, my home address, my phone numbers, all of my medication, everything in detail.
Well, this also speaks to the fact that we're past even having IT. We're at the point now where we have to have an effective privacy and security program.
Yes.
Not just I've got IT, not just I've got security. There has to be a program in place. I mean, yes. It's to that point, and it's not going to get any better. And so you've got to figure out for your practice or your business, how are you going to implement that? How are you going to take this stuff seriously and prove it?
Yes. An actual, you know, there's HIPAA compliance, and then there's an effective privacy and security program that you can prove you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
HIPAA compliance is not security.
No.
Even Severino personally said last year, it is the floor. It is the bare minimum you should do. Well, if the bare minimum that was established by the by in 2005,
whew,
and we're now 15 years later, going into our 16 years later, and it's way worse year by year, year over year. We're looking at, you know, 50, 100, 200, even some cases, 350% increase and different kinds of attacks and all kinds of things that are coming at us. How can checking the box of compliance be anywhere remotely like an actual effective privacy and security program that I can prove I'm doing?
You can't.
You officially made that judgment.
I did.
Okay.
Put it out there. Quote me on it. Call the news.
Tell it all. Tell it all. So. If that wasn't bad enough, knowing that, and we've talked about this before, ransomware as a service.
Yeah.
Which, you know, software as a service has been great for mm-hmm. small business.
And ransomware as a service has been great.
For those businesses
yeah.
that run them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, let do a quick explanation. The affiliate-based model,
mm-hmm.
it's a business model.
Yeah.
You want to give it a quick stab on, just in case, one more time, let's explain ransomware as a service.
All right. So with ransomware as a service, what they do is, you know, basically I would go to them and I'd say, here's some people that I want you to attack. and you're going to attack them for me because I don't need to know anything about it. Don't need to have the knowledge, the tools, anything like that. So you, as Mr. Ransomware Gang, will do this on my behalf, and we will split the profits. And so I become an affiliate where I am sharing the ransomware with those I want to attack. And then we split the profit. So if I have access, for example, to other organizations or email addresses and all that, and I want to use that to attack all those addresses, then I say, look, I don't have to know how to do this. I'll just do ransomware as a service. They'll attack all those addresses or ex-wives, whatever you want to do. And then... then they'll say, okay, because this was, or whatever monies we get, you're going to get a percentage of that. And those percentages, you know, they're 40, 50, 60%, depending on what it is.
Yeah. And so you're basically saying, I don't know anything about ransomware, but I got a whole bunch of emails.
Yeah.
Or I got a whole bunch of IP addresses, a whole bunch of targets.
Yep.
And I just need you to give me the tools I need to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a booming business.
Oh, yeah.
I think it starts, the one that we saw the ads on, the Sedina Kibi ransomware as a service, their affiliates network, I think it starts at a 70-30 split.
Oh, wow. So, I would keep 70% of that.
The affiliate would get 70%, yeah. And then the gang gets... 30%, and that then, you know, that's a pretty lucrative thing, but guess what that's also doing? It's driving up the price.
Of course it is.
And you know who that gets passed along to? We'll call it the consumer, aka victims.
The unwilling consumer.
The unwilling consumer. So that's why we're seeing these prices go up.
Yeah. But,
you know.
I mean, imagine if I'm able to get somebody to pay $1 million. And I get to keep 70% of that.
Yeah. But I mean, if I get 10 people to pay $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Or 20 people to pay $50,000.
We can do math. Okay. It's awesome. But here's the thing. That's changing too.
Uh-oh. What's happening there?
We just talked about the double extortion.
Mm-hmm.
And recently we covered the... denial of service, where they just like aim a cannon of traffic at your IP address so you can't use the internet, as another method. But then we see that they're running ads to their affiliates for a new free service.
Oh, nice.
I know. Isn't that nice?
They're
expanding their services. Because, you know, they've got the denial of service and you can do a test mode to see if you know, it's in the news section of their affiliate portal. And that we even have their threads. You can open a ticket if you have problems on. I mean, this is a true business now. It's not what people think it is. And we've been trying to get people out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Kid in the hoodie in the basement. It is not that anymore. It may be a kid in the hoodie in the basement, but they're connected to a huge crime syndicate.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
More likely, I'm envisioning more like a complete floor of an office building with cubicles and everything else.
Well, you know, that's the gang, right? The gang has, you know, all of the bandwidth to handle all of their affiliates, and the affiliates are the, you know, the kids in the basement,
yeah,
in the hoodie. But now they're making millions of dollars, and it's not what you see it as has always been.
Yeah, there has been a spike in the number of hoodies sold last year.
yeah, I'm sure we need to come up with our own. They have that their denial of service. You that one you pay for. It's a paid service, but they're adding a new service with a phone call.
Oh, who are they calling?
I know. It's calling from inside the house. This could actually be considered a third or fourth tactic.
Okay.
Because they're now offering to call your business partners. So let's say I'm an accounting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now willing to call all the people you do accounting for.
Wow.
They're also offering to call free of charge in this new service. They're also offering to call journalists.
Oh, wow.
To get you on the news.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Just all kind of publicity.
Yeah. And, I mean, they had a PricewaterhouseCooper did in one of the reports that were shared in the articles. They had a running total of the data leaked with the ransomware gangs,
mm-hmm.
and showing how many cases. So at the beginning in January, we know this is when it was starting, and it's small. And it takes it until like June to hit about 200. And then by the end of the year, it's just like straight up.
Yeah. Hockey stick growth.
Yeah. Almost. I mean, it certainly looks like, you know, the top of a mountain that does not have it's a steep incline.
Yeah, very much.
You're talking about serious damage to your IT band. But, and those of you who are getting old, you'll get that. But they're offering this as a new free service. So if you get attacked, we're going to exfiltrate your data. We're going to encrypt it. We have all the information now in your data of who your business partners are, your clients, your consumers, whoever. It's in your data. So we're just going to start calling people to basically shame you into paying.
Yeah.
And we're going to call the news. So all that reputational damage is becoming exponential.
You know, before when some of this happened, you could either pay it or not pay it, but you could probably, for the most part, keep it hush hush, especially if you're a small organization.
Right.
So this is going to remove that ability to keep it hush hush. Of course, I guess you can still pay, but who's to say that even if you pay, you're still going to be kept hush hush?
Right.
Because they might come back and go, oh no, you paid. You pay for your data back. You didn't pay for us to be quiet.
Yeah. And so not just, I'm going to hold you for ransom, and if you don't pay this, we're going to do the other things. It's, okay, first we'll encrypt your data.
Mm-hmm.
Then we won't sell it.
Right.
You got to pay me another one. Then we won't tell everybody.
Yeah. Hush money.
So, I mean, they're just getting you to pay in multiple layers. And, you know, we used to talk about, you know, just paying the ransom wasn't enough. If you pay it, that's not going to be the end of it.
You're a good customer.
Such a good customer.
You're on our top customer list.
So we see this happening. And then, you know, really looking at where we're going with this.
All right. Where are we going with this?
Well, I mean, that is a clear predictor right there. If they're offering, that's like the number one gang
mm-hmm.
that's doing this now, is now offering that service to their affiliates. So we know where that's going. And then we get the BlackBerry 2021 threat report, which it had some really stark.
Well, before we get into that, what about the piece where the patients are being contacted?
Well, that's what's in there.
That's what's in that report?
Yeah.
All right. Carry forward.
You will allow it?
I shall.
Because this was the part that, you know, it's like threat, the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Threat actors contacting patients as part of healthcare extortion strategies is one of their predicted trends. Trends.
Mm-hmm.
It's trendy.
It's a very trendy thing.
In 2021. And to me, it was like, it's bad enough calling your business partners, calling the news, but they're also calling the patients. And this is for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they point out in the article that, you know, throughout 2020, healthcare's been a huge target. Because of the pandemic and, you know, first of all, it's always been all that data,
mm-hmm.
you know, data moving rapidly across a wide threat landscape. I mean, an attack landscape rather. And then the threats are just, you know, all out aimed at it because it just becomes an extremely valuable target to these people.
Yep.
There's so many things that they can do with it. So, you know, they saw that medical records basically, you know, they become a weapon. you know, we've got these and look what we can do with them. We can keep you from using them. We can make you wonder whether they're accurate or not, and we can give them away.
Right.
Confidentiality, integrity, availability. Mm-hmm. We can attack all those things. So this is what they saw. And, you know, granted, healthcare, everybody in the world is dealing with this madness.
Yeah.
So, and this was particularly concerning to me because we know what specialties tend to do better than others. And we'll just leave it at that. So remember, November, February 2019, we saw this start happening and then it became insane.
Right.
We are now seeing medical records posted for sale, recently stolen. We know it's happening. In October 2020, in Finland, a psychotherapy center had their systems attacked and patient data was stolen. Not only did they demand a ransom from the center, they contacted patients individually seeking a ransom of 200 euro in Bitcoin. That's a lot of Bitcoin. And the threat actors ultimately published the records of at least 300 patients who wouldn't pay. And their concern is this tactic could become more popular throughout 2021 when combined with traditional ransomware attacks.
That's what we would call double dipping.
It is. You know, but this is it. There's so many layers now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, their concern is this is the pressure on healthcare service providers. Now it's going to come from patients. So imagine how your reputation is going to be impacted. That you are hit. You're down for 8 days. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they said before, you know, 9.6 days.
Right.
Is your average downtime. So you're down for that amount of time. You can't treat your patients. Your patient's data is now for sale. And they're going to call up your business partners and the news and your individual patients to let them know this is happening and offer the patients to also pay.
So could this all be part of your breach notification? Can you just say the criminals already notified them? I don't have to.
Yeah.
And save money.
Yeah, why not? Just throw your hands up and, you know, so you know, this gets back to why now. And I remember when I first read about the maze, I'm like, all bets are off. There's no assume they get in and prepare to respond to ransomware. Yes, you have to prepare to respond to ransomware and know it will be very bad. Now we have to do everything in our power to prevent it from occurring.
It's like fighting a fire while somebody's shooting at you.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, yes. Like, I mean, that's where we are. And so to assume that you can do this and fight this, the you know, doing what you always did,
yep.
Gonna get what you always got. Right?
That's what they say.
Well, and what you always got ain't gonna be enough anymore.
No.
So scan and exploit. All right. Well, how do we, that's the number one way they're getting in to do this. What's the way that we prevent that, Mr. IT guy?
You put up ways that they can't scan and exploit.
You block it. You block that ability, and you make sure that you're patching the exploits.
Yep.
So.
Well, the other part of that, too, is are you doing, and this is something that we don't see a lot of in the small organizations, but they're not doing any kind of assessments or vulnerability scanning or some type of minimalistic red team exercise. Because I know you can't, as a small organization, you can't pay somebody to do a real red team exercise. But you can pay somebody to come in and do vulnerability assessments.
Right.
And that's where I think a big part of this is going to come from is that you're looking at somebody actually coming in and doing those scannings and looking for the exploits, but they're on your team. They're on your side.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, typically not happening in the small organizations that I think they could benefit largely from.
Well, and, you know, we started doing that. I had to have a policy change, mm-hmm. Our own internal, that we bring in companies that are digital forensics. That's what they do. And we say, do that initial scan looking for what you could exploit.
Mm-hmm.
Do the external initial and then the internal. And then they say, here are all the things that could be chosen.
Yep.
And, you know, now we say, look, we're going to include that in our assessment. And we're just going to pass through what the cost is for us. We want to hire them, so it's part of our report. We'll pass that through, get that data, and, you know, make sure that you have that included. And there are times we stop the assessment because of things we find.
Yeah.
And if you choose not to do that element of our assessment, it's going to be the number one thing we put on your risk management plan is to have that done. And, okay, and this is, you know, I haven't told you about this problem, but news to David, everybody. One of the things we run into is we take this list to the IT providers, mm-hmm. and the IT providers are like, this is ridiculous.
Okay, in what way?
You know, because it's showing all these vulnerabilities that haven't been patched. And, you know, not all of them are. A lot of them are like, oh, this is awesome. Let me give you my plan. And that's what I want to hear.
Okay.
I don't want to hear them say, you know, we could spend hours dealing with this stuff, or we can get your projects done. Which one do you want?
Well, I could see two paths to this. One is the IT provider may not know how to even address it, because it, for a lot of IT vendors, it really is their third-party vendors who are doing cybersecurity, not them. Yeah. They're installing the thing, and then if it doesn't do it automatically, they don't know how to handle it. That's one piece of it. The other side of the coin is that the clients are saying, I don't want to pay you more than $300 a month to cover my large network with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes an economic discussion where I'm saying, look, you need X, Y, and Z, and it costs to provide that level of service, but you're not willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're giving me a budget of X, and that budget has to go toward everything you want done, then it can't all be done.
But let's have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, okay, well, these scans they're just crap that we go through and we don't end up doing anything and it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, no, that's not healthy for anybody.
Yeah. And so that's not the answer that you want to hear.
I would say if you're getting that response, it's mm-hmm. time to shop.
I mean, it's not the first time we've gotten that response. I know it won't be the last time, every time it happens. But, you know, I've had to develop plans for it because it's very frustrating for my team to deal with it, because they're trying to make sure our job is to say, these are all the areas that we feel you should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's, you know, if you need us to help talk to your IT vendor, we will. And if we do, and the immediate response is that, then it becomes this, you know, it's that negative response.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, just imagine for a minute that you're running a cruise ship. Somebody comes to you and says, we've identified holes in the hull of the ship. And the person or people that are responsible for patching these holes in this hull of the ship look at you and say, we can either patch these holes or we can put new furniture in the dining room. Which one do you want? Serious? Or they go, look, we see this all the time. Everything's going to be fine.
Or they say, these are tiny little holes and only a few drops of water get in that when the waves get really high.
Yeah.
And so we think we'll be okay with that. Those few drops, no worries.
Yeah. So, or even somebody just comes to you and says, look, there's no holes, but here's some structural integrity issues mm-hmm. that we need to really look at and address.
And that's generally, you know, if it's true holes, we stop. We stop everything and say, this is a hole. You're going to sink mm-hmm. or the building's going to collapse. But it's the structural integrity things that become that debate.
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know why, but I had this vision pop in my head about a doggy door. Because my wife mentioned recently, she's like, we should get a doggy door so the dog can go in and out when they want to. My first thought was, you know how many raccoons and possums would end up in my house? And the reason I say that is because it's not what gets out that scares me more than what could come in that port.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. I can see you immediately like, imagining a raccoon chasing your wife around the house. First of all, you'd be laughing about it.
I would, but see, we have a lot of critters around our house.
All right, so the good news is 2020 is done.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what the good news is. The good news is we're aware, and there are things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is it's very hard to get that focus from everybody, but we can't live that way.
No.
Now, there's structural integrity issues, and there's people trying to attack them.
Well, being aware of what you don't know is step one. The next thing is you got to figure out what you're going to do about it.
Yeah.
And like Donna brought up, you can't just keep doing what you've always done, because we're past that. We're so far past that. When I see people now talking about just antivirus, I'm shaking my head. I'm like, we're way past just using antivirus. We can't do that anymore.
That doesn't mean you can get rid of it.
No, it still has to be there, but that has to be a part of what you're doing. And honestly, as little as a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I would say that having a multi-layered security approach would be what you need. Well, now we're past that.
Yeah.
Now it's not only do you need the antivirus that's part of your multi-layered security approach, but you also need the multi-layered security approach that is now part of your privacy and security program that you can use to prove that you're doing all the other stuff. So it just keeps getting more and more and more that has to be done. Mm-hmm. There's two problems or challenges with that. One is that the businesses, the clients, the healthcare organizations have to do that, but IT has to keep up with that too.
Yeah.
Your MSPs, your IT professionals, your internal IT has to keep up with that as well. So that's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And we know it's a lot, and that's why we do what we do. And we're encouraging you, if you are an IT professional, get caught up on this and be proactive in discussions where it's not you versus me. It's us versus them.
Yeah. You're all in the same boat. Don't let it sink.
And if you're, not the IT person, you're trying to manage what you count on them to do, schedule a meeting and say, hey, listen to this episode of Help Me with HIPAA.com. Help Me with HIPAA. And then, come to the meeting and let's discuss it.
Yep.
Yeah. Because, you've got to find what is reasonable, and then how can we make sure we're doing it, and prove that we're doing it is becoming the key element. Because if you do get hit and you can't prove you were doing these things, then it's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
If you get hit and you can prove you were doing all these things, you've got a fighting chance to say, look, I don't know what more we could do.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go look at your system and we're like, oh, you weren't doing any of these things, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. It's all negligence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the next thing we're going to see is more of a push for people forcing us to do these things. So it's beyond, it's beyond, look, this is what you should be doing. This is the best thing you can do to protect yourself and others. Yeah. We're beyond that. The next phase is going to be somebody telling you, if you don't do this, there's going to be bad things happen to you financially or otherwise. Yeah. Beyond what the criminals are doing. We're going to punish you if you don't do this.
I mean, yeah, we can't.
The carrot's not working.
Yeah, the stick's coming. We're going to have some more conversations about this.
Yeah, we have a lot.
People want to be anti-regulation, but they also don't want to just do the right thing based on the environment you're operating in. So, I mean, it's a tough place.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, Don and I, part of what we're doing this weekend is we're developing some things, and we're not ready to announce yet, but it's going to help organizations and IT to be able to address a lot of these things that are coming up so that we can all be working in the same direction.
We're going to do our best to help.
Yeah.
It's shaking, bacon. I helped.
We're going to change it to, we're going to help you beyond HIPAA.
All right, we got to go because we got to check out of this hotel room.
Yep. All right, that's our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening, and join us next week as you hear another amazing episode of Help Me With HIPAA. And remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindle and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grindle or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.